For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And Peter, last week, shortly after we had recorded big news in the theater, the passing of Hal Prince.
21 Tonys.
More than anybody. Career starting in The Pajama Game, West Side Story, Fiddler on the Roof, anything you can name. Cabaret, Kiss of the Spider-Woman, Phantom of the Opera. All of these shows as producer or director.
And associated with Sondheim and Fosse and
all the big names of musical theater. So difficult to measure the passing of a giant of the theater like that. I think this week I'd heard an interview, someone being asked, what do we lose with the passing of Toni Morrison, great American author dying? And I thought the answer was quite astute. We, of course, still have her books. We miss her being contemporary and her being able to comment on contemporary issues. And in the theater, it's very, very different. By the time Hal Prince dies, his work is already evaporated into the ether. People will do those shows again, but his pioneering work was complete. It's a very different kind of thing, and perhaps more so for actors. In some instances, you could go into Lincoln Center Library and see actual videos, not that that's the same at all. But in the theater, it's very much a temporal art, and when the curtain descends, that is gone. I was in New York when they dimmed the lights for Hal Prince. If you've never done that, it's quite a phenomenon. Some of the marquees put pictures up, people rushing out into the streets to see this spiritual moment when the lights are dimmed for a great person of the theater. Quite somber, and reminds you of the passing of time.
Well, speaking of the passing of time, it's been a whole week since you were in New York. So Moulin Rouge and I guess Fairview. Let's start with Moulin Rouge. Why is it such a hot ticket?
Well, I did see two hot tickets in a single week. Moulin Rouge, which is based on the film, is now a Broadway musical. And Fairview, which won the Pulitzer Prize, which also features Rosalind Ruff from Buffalo in a fabulous role. But Moulin Rouge, well, it's the Camille story. And we just indulge in the heavy romance and melodrama of that story, and it's opulent. There's a lot to look at. That's the pleasure of Moulin Rouge, plus the use of popular music in surprising ways.
Well, that I found confusing. Now, it's quote-unquote a jukebox musical, but the jukebox is decades long.
Well, it's not focused on any one performing group or any one genre or even any one time period. It's just this vast array of pop songs that work into the plot, and sometimes it's very humorous the way that they work into the plot, or uncanny how perfect they seemed for the plot, and that's a great deal of the pleasure of Moulin Rouge, and it is visually stunning. And Karen Olivo, who, you know, her West Side Story, fine, she can't dance, but boy, they're deploying her brilliantly in this. She just pops like a star. I loved everything about her in this show.
And Fairview?
Well, have you heard much about Fairview?
Well, no, I've just heard everything I go to says, well, I'm not going to tell you the ending.
Exactly. We can't tell you the ending. And I don't want to tell you the ending. It's about race. And in Act One, it's an African-American family celebrating Mama's birthday. And this is a big deal. And they build it all up. And it's two sisters, one of whom is played by Buffalo's Rosalind Ruff. And she's the inevitable, sassy, not-to-be-messed-with sister. And the sisters hate each other. And you think it's going to be this comedy about the husband. Did he remember to buy the root vegetables and all of this? Well, this stops at a certain moment. One of the sisters faints. And then the entire thing gets played. This whole scene that you've seen played as TV sitcom. They play the scene again, but this time, instead of their voices, it is the voiceovers of white people timed perfectly with these movements. But it's a whole discussion of race where they play this game. If you couldn't be your own race, what race would you want to be? And their conversation is both humorous and horrifying as it is layered over the top of these African-American performers performing the same scene that you've already seen. And then there's a third turn, and that's the one that no one wants to tell you. But it really is quite brilliant. It's been quite controversial. Everyone who's seen it has wanted to talk about it a lot, and Rosalind's terrific in it. That's what's going on with Fairview, so I won't reveal the ending in hopes that eventually it will come to Buffalo and you might be surprised. And of course, locally, Shakespeare in Delaware Park, Love's Labor's Lost continues. It's very sweet. Boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. We all know how that ends. I was talking to Daryl Samira, who plays Barone, and he said after a performance, a little girl, you know, just like a school kid, came up to him and demanded to know, why did you sign that oath? And I just love that.
I've heard a similar story over and over. These young audience members who are so involved in the plot. They believe.
And having no difficulty following it or going on that journey. And, you know, that's what's supposed to happen.
Well, my favorite moment wasn't even on stage. Some fellow behind me said to his companions, don't bother reading the plot synopsis. After 30 seconds with Shakespeare, you'll be totally lost. And then after the show, he said, wow, that was great. I followed every plot point.
Well,
I think they did well.
Not that that would be my number one criterion, but I'm glad he had a good time. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.